Friday evening was a unique experience for me, one that I have never experienced in the entire time that I've been a Christian. Friday night is a lot different than Sunday morning at Easter. Friday night is what we call Good Friday service or Tenebrae. And Tenebrae is actually the Latin term for the shadow. So the Tenebrae of the Good Friday service was actually inspired and created to pull the physical element completely out of the week, the Holy Week, and allow us to focus intently on the emotional side of the crucifixion, what Christ did for us. And so this past Friday, I had the distinct privilege of standing beside the bed of a young woman who's diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. Those of us who are following her story and praying for her know that we know that God can heal. We know that. But those of us who are following that story understand that she may only have hours or days before she goes to be with the Lord. So here I am on Good Friday night, standing by the bed, watching my beautiful wife sit next to her on the bed, and she was unaware that we were there, just stroking her hair. And the moment became so real and alive to me, like never before. I stood there and looked at this lady in agony and suffering and pain. And in that moment, God related to me his pain and his suffering that he gave for me. I'm standing there, tears streaming down my face. I'm there to be a comfort, and I'm holding back like even this vocal outburst, because the emotion of the moment was so intense. Just me thinking, Christ suffered for me. Simultaneously thinking, why in the world does this woman have to suffer like this? I don't understand it. I don't get it. We have celebrated so many victories, so many even celebrating plateaus when it comes to cancer and successful treatments, and I don't get it. And as I stood there, tears running down my face, Mom comes into the room, who is now a caregiver in her own home for her daughter who is dying. And she looked at me, and I know that she didn't want to embarrass me at all. She looked at me and she said these words, "Just think about this. The suffering that Christ allowed in his own physical body, he allowed pain, suffering, agony, so that my baby can live forever with him." Talk about an emotional Tenebrae, an emotional Good Friday. As she voiced those words to me, this picture just came to my mind. She really believes. She really believes this. She's not just mimicking, oh, God's able and God's good and God's going to take. She really believed when she looked me in the eye and said those words. She truly, truly, truly believed that her baby is going to be with Jesus for eternity. No doubts. Now, I didn't question that, but for me, it was like, in life, there are so many looming questions. And we are called to believe, but we have doubts and fears. And I wrote all about that in your bulletin, and you can read that later. But there are so many questions in life that just bring us to our knees. And whether we will admit it or not, we wrestle with the fact, is the reality of God actual? Is he for real? Can he do what I need from him? Can he hear me from heaven above? Does he know my heart? I witnessed a woman with absolute authority in her eyes and voice declare, I believe. The suffering of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, was an atonement for my baby. This Easter pops for me. Like I said, never in the history of ministry have I missed a Good Friday evening service until this year. But I'm on this personal journey that I've been talking about to you on Sunday mornings. I'm on this journey. I've been asking God, please, please, let me hear in 2018 so much farther than where I've ever heard before. And it's causing me to ask the looming questions. Now, I wouldn't say that I've ever asked the question, well, maybe I have it. But I don't remember, is God really real? But I have asked the question, where are you in this, God? What are you doing now, God? Why did you allow this, God? Are you sure, God? And I have done this many times. Are you sure that you know what you're doing? Because I have doubts, you have doubts, I have fears, we have fears. Life comes at us at a speed that's uncontrollable, almost out of control. And we ask the question, God, where are you in all of this? And what are you doing in all of this? Are you real? Can I even believe it? We've been walking through the book of Acts and the creation of the church in that New Testament setting after Christ rose from the dead and he challenged them to go out and to proclaim the gospel. We get to a portion this week in the book of Acts, and I'm just gonna stay here for just a minute because it just coordinated. I said last week, it was unbelievable that I started the book of Acts not knowing that the lesson progression, the sermon progression would actually land us on Palm Sunday relative, land us on Easter relative. In this picture, in this story, Peter and John had just said to the lame man sitting at the gate, Temple Beautiful, or the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but what I have you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he got up and walked and went with them, which created this great stir amongst everybody that was beginning to recognize this is the lame man. This is the man that was healed. So we come to this portion in Acts chapter 3, the 12th verse. Peter says, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. We are his witnesses of this. It brings us to resurrection. Now, can you imagine? Now, I read that in a cadence that almost seemed harsh. like Peter was just coming right at them. Like, you're the ones that killed him. Now, picture it this way. This Jesus, the one that you assume we had power to heal, this Jesus, the one that actually raised him, raised from the dead, he's the one that gave power for this lame man to be healed. This is the same Jesus that just the other day, you cried out, give us Barabbas instead of him. This is the same Jesus that came. This is the Messiah that came to give his life for me. And his very own people had him hung on a cross. It's a lot different recited like that than the cadence that I read it in Scripture as. Now, each and every one of us has to come to the idea, to the concept, to the decision that we have failed him, that each and every one of us in our life, we have sinned, for none have escaped that. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done that. Now, what is sin? Sin is the absolute knowing of what we should do and the absolute defiance of what we know we should do, and we do it anyway. Now, I'm guilty. You're guilty. Scripture is clear that it may not even have been a huge thing for you. It may have been just a little thing. It may have been huge in your life. But let me assure you this. Whether it's huge or whether it's small, God looks at sin all the same. And he knows that because of sin, there is a separation between us and the Almighty God. And so Jesus Christ allowed his body to be broken, allowed it to be crucified, so that he, on that third day, could overcome death. That he could take the keys of hell and open freely the gate to eternal life for all who would accept that. I believe that as this progression in the book of Acts goes on, Peter is not challenging them saying, you fools, look what you've done. He's saying, look what's happened. You are now a blessed people. For you have sinned. I've sinned. But because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ allowed to happen on that day, on that Friday, now we have redemption for our sin. We are able to be purified and cleansed. We are able, as Mom says, my baby will be with him for all eternity. You know, that's God's dream for you as his baby. You know, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Think of him going, these are my babies. These are my kids. I want them to be with me in eternity forever. I don't even know how to explain it. It's eternity. God opened a way through Jesus Christ. Do you really believe? Do you really believe? Wow. You can probably get the intensity of that woman looking at me, telling me in other words, but loudly, I believe. I believe. We find ourselves now, this morning, in the book of Luke. To reiterate some of our scripture that we already had you stand for this morning as the reader so eloquently took it through us, let me just read a portion of that back again. When they came back from the tomb, these are the women, these are the ones that went to the tomb to anoint the body. You know, they didn't expect the tomb to be open. They expected the stone to still be there. They expected to have to try and figure out, how do we open this thing so we can anoint this body? How can we do that? They get there. The grave is open. The stone is rolled away. They experience an angel. Go. He has risen. They didn't expect that. If they had expected it, they wouldn't have taken their spices. If they would have expected it, they wouldn't have gone prepared to prepare the body of Jesus their own. But they found the grave empty. They went back. They began to declare to the disciples, to those gathered. It says there was others. There's lots. Pastor Joe alluded. What would Mary, how would she have said, "He's risen"? How would you say that if you were going to a group of people, understanding, just experiencing, having that moment like never before, where you know in your heart you've just been told by an angel, "He is not here, he's risen"? How would you react to that? Would you take that public? There are some things that I hear that I think I should probably check that out before. But they did not believe the women as they came, because their words seemed like nonsense. We're always afraid of that, aren't we? We're always afraid. If I testify, if I share my story, if I talk about Jesus, if I really show that I truly believe, they'll think I'm a fanatic. They'll think I'm just talking nonsense. Listen, our lives speak louder than our words. And when we live the way that God has called us to live, it becomes a believable story. Now, verbally, in this moment, in this account of history, the disciples were like, "We don't believe. It's nonsense." But there was one. There was this man named Peter who said, "I'm going to go look. I'm going to check this out for myself." So he went to the tomb. He looked in, and he saw it was empty. But he still struggled with the question, "Do I believe it? It's scripture." He didn't know what to think. Do I believe this? Is this a scam? Is this a farce? What is this? I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So after Jesus had risen from the dead, the ladies had gone back to the group. Peter had gone and checked for himself. Everybody's still in wonderment and amazement, like, what has happened here? We got lots of questions. We have tons of questions here. What is going on? So there was two people that were there in the room when the ladies came and got the story of Peter as he went and he looked in the tomb. There was two men, and they were on the road to Emmaus. Now, from where they were going to Emmaus was about 7 miles. It was about a 7-mile journey. Now, picture, we wouldn't go that. We wouldn't walk that today. We'd get in the car or on our bicycle or something like that. We wouldn't walk it. But these two were walking this road. They were headed to Emmaus, and there was a man that came up to them and just kind of interrupted their conversation that they were having. And that wouldn't have been uncommon, because in this day, in that age, it would have been dangerous to be on the road by yourself. It would have been extremely dangerous. The robbers, we know the story of the Good Samaritan, the man that was beaten and left along the side of the road to die. This was a dangerous thing. So people would congregate and get in kind of caravans. And so an extra person joining these two wouldn't have been uncommon. But he comes up and he goes, "Hey, yo." Paraphrased, by the way. "What are you talking about?" And they reply back to him, "You must be a stranger in town, because if you weren't, you would know that there was a prophet amongst Israel that was just crucified." And his disciples are in mourning. His family is just this massive grief. And we have tons of questions too, because we suspected that this man was going to be the one that would redeem Israel. We suspected that this man was going to be the one that would bring salvation to his people, and they killed him. And I can just see Jesus going, that's interesting. Let me tell you a few things. And so while they're walking, again, it's a seven-mile trip. If you just take and say, well, if you walked casually or even, let's say, 15 minutes per mile, and you take a little bit off the beginning from where they got started before he met them on the road to Emmaus, let's say they had a couple hours. During that couple hours journey, as they were walking to Emmaus, this man that joined them, actually Jesus, opened the scriptures from Moses right on straight through, all the prophets, right up to the day that they were living. And he was expounding on the fact that God would send a Messiah. God was sending his son. Now, they didn't get it. Their eyes were closed. They had Jesus with them. He was speaking to them. And they still didn't get it. I don't feel so bad on those occasions that somebody's telling me something and I'm scratching my head going, I don't get it. I don't get it. But they dug into the scriptures. They dug into the prophecies, into the scrolls. I found a picture of a Bible with somebody digging. This wasn't what they had then. They had scrolls. And I would guess that Jesus completely went by memory from what had been penned in the scrolls that they had access to. Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He would have known all of that. And he expounded on all of that. So they get to Emmaus, they get to the village, and Jesus goes like, I'm just going to keep going. And they begged him, they said, no, don't do this. And I again suspect, don't go alone, the day's almost done. This is prime target time for individuals to be on this road by themselves. Somebody's going to beat you and rob you and take everything that you got. Now, obviously he didn't have anything. He wasn't carrying a knapsack or anything, but that wouldn't have hindered a thief from beating him and trying to take. And so they beg, come on in, come on in. So they're setting around the fire. They're setting at dinner. And Jesus reveals himself. You ever wake up in the middle of the night like, oh, now I get it. Has anybody ever told you a joke and you looked at them just like with this blank stare and they say to you, you'll get it later. And then at the weirdest time, you begin to laugh because I get it now. And you're with, it could be hours or even days later and you're like, oh, I can't tell you how many times I start laughing and Joe's like, what is so funny? Oh, just something I was thinking about and just start laughing. They had this, oh, that was Jesus moment. Now, we find in that book of Luke, at several different occasions, that Jesus actually showed himself, not just on the road to Emmaus, but other times, he showed himself real. Jesus, he is about making himself real in your life. You know, since I started this personal journey that actually started out as a church journey, I wanted to figure out how to best lead you, and it actually turned into a personal journey that I think will spill out as I continue to grow, as I continue to get closer to him. I think that you'll get the benefit of that and that you're just going to ride along with me. But as I started this, God has begun to open scriptures not only to me in my personal time, but I can honestly say in the last 3 months, now listen to this, since I committed with those of you who committed to here in 2018, in the last 3 months, God has opened more doors for me to talk about Jesus with unbelievers than in the entire almost 3 years that I've been here. In the weirdest, most unusual places. Just this past week, sitting with a gentleman that he begins, he knows that I'm a pastor and all that stuff, but it's never been a point of conversation. And this week he says, I'm on a spiritual journey of my own. And I'm like, woo! And Joe's with me, and we're both just tag teaming. Like, God opened the door. We're going to share truth, the truth that we know and that we believe. Let me go back here and read this. He opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, and this is a later occurrence, this is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and raise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in that city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, I said this jumps ahead a little bit. This is just before the ascension. This is just before Jesus left earth and ascended into the heavens, where he gave the actual command to those of us who embrace him. Now, it is time for you to go into Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of this world, and proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for you to do that. So he appears to them in this book of Luke here, and he says, just hang on. I'm going to send an anointing, a power on you, so that you can reach those who need to know that on the third day, Jesus did raise from the grave. On the third day, Jesus did overcome sin. On the third day, Jesus did offer freedom to all. No matter what sin we had committed, Jesus offered freedom to all. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I find this as an amazing fact. Somebody who makes a statement, somebody who is giving leadership, somebody who is doing whatever they're doing, and they are doing it completely sold out, completely bought in, are so much more effective than people who aren't. You know, I use this illustration many times, but here's the simple way to say it. If a Kirby salesman came to your door — now I know Kirbys are ancient, and my Kirby is like 35 years old now, one of those guys came to my door. But if a Kirby salesman came to your door, and you said to them, "I'm interested in what vacuum cleaner you use," and they said, "Oh, I have a Hoover." Why would I buy a Kirby? Today, through the risen power of Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, the coming of his Holy Spirit, he has enabled you to believe with confidence that he is real. That this life you pursue, this Jesus that you chase, he is real. Real enough to give you strength to look at a pastor that you've never met before and say, "It makes me think about Jesus and the pain and the suffering that he went through, the life he gave, so that my baby can spend eternity with him." Do you believe?